listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, John Bruschetto will be telling us a little bit about his connection to TDC. So what can you tell me about your work with Jay Stoyan and TDC?
Yeah, the Disability Channel and Jay, I think it was about last year that I met Jay and got familiar with the work that he's doing and appreciating the effort that he puts in and work with the veterans. So I'll admit I'm still learning more about him every day and still learning about the Disability Channel, but proud to be part of working with Jay and the team there.
So can you tell me a little bit about what he's led you to do, specifically what he sparked for inspiration?
Yeah, well, so we met with Jay, we discussed some opportunities, and in particular, he's in the music industry, so I think where we come in, my company, Lightning at a Bottle Entertainment, so we also work with authors, artists, and musicians, so it was a good opportunity for me to work with Jay and supporting a friend of ours, Laura Gagnon, and up-and-coming musician, and hope to see her in the future years. But yeah, so again, just an opportunity to work with Jay, and it's been great so far. I know he's hard working every day, he's on the go, and setting up tours and all kinds of things. But yeah, so this is, we're, as a company, Lightning at Bottle, we're a sponsor, so that's my connection and work with Jay and the Disability Channel.
So when you mentioned the work with veterans, I'm guessing that includes things like mental health concerns and returning from active duty, depression, things along those lines.
Yeah, and it's great to see, because sometimes I feel that they get forgotten, you know, the veterans especially, and then I see it happen in Canada. I have been seeing it in the U.S., you know, these veterans that put their life on the line and the work, you know, serving our country and the work that they've done. So it's nice to see somebody like Jay that's stepping up and doing what he can to help the veterans and disability, people with disabilities, whether it's from serving or not, you know, ways to help support where we can.
So that being said, do you find that being in the entertainment field, that it's more of a cool, relatable way of getting the message across that people with disabilities and returning veterans should be counted too?
Absolutely. Yeah, and again, I mean, we see it. I mean, I think all of us are aware of it, and I think we all help where we can, where we're supporting different charities. There's so many different charities, and I help lots of different charities, whether it's cancer or diabetes, or, I mean, the list goes on and on. But again, it's nice to see with Jay, you know, specifically helping serve through the Disability Channel, helping the veterans or helping those with other disabilities. So, yeah, I think it's important.
So, in your time doing this work, is there any success moment or story that stands out for you?
I'll admit I don't have one as of yet that stands out because me, I'm usually busy on the go, so I don't get to come to some of the events. I don't get to interact, but I'm hoping to, maybe on some of these tours where Jay's meeting different people. But I don't have a special moment yet, but I've seen pictures, and I've seen the work that he's done and the people that he works with, and sometimes say, yeah, man, I wish I could be there, would love to, but just unfortunately my hectic schedule doesn't allow it, but I can see the work that Jay's doing and appreciate the effort that he's putting in.
So is there one that strikes you from some of the other charities you've mentioned, like diabetes group, for example?
Yeah, well, for me, I don't have diabetes. It does run in my family, so I've had to change lifestyle and health and that. But I have worked closely with the Diabetes Association over the years, just through fundraising and traveling with the diabetes team to run marathons and things. And again, cancer is always a close one for me as well, because I lost my mother to cancer and my grandparents also to different forms of cancer. So I think every one of us has a cancer story. So, but it's nice, like I said, there's so many needy causes in this world and so many people that need our love and support and help. So again, that's why it's great to see, not just to work with one charity like what Jay's doing, but there's so many needy causes and so many people worthy of our attention and help.
So do you have any advice for folks out there who might want to get better educated about organizations they can support or steps they can take just to be a little more proactive in that world?
Yeah, and again, I think this is where I did my homework. I think most of us, we're all used to going on the computer and checking Google, and even if you don't have access to that, I think just interacting and talking. So for me, I went to the Disability Channel, and this is where I seen some of the work, great work that Jay's doing with the veterans. And it's not a one-day thing. It's just over the years, right? But again, it's just taking the time. I think of each of us, I mean, we're all busy schedules, but even if you take a couple minutes to do your research online, check out the Disability Channel or check out whatever charity is that's close to you. We're all impacted by something in this world. We all have challenges. We all have obstacles. But just taking the time to look into it or just go, I think, again, go to a local community center, go to, or find out where it is. Where is the, in London, where I live, there's a diabetes center, there's cancer centers, and then, meeting Jay. So, but yeah, just taking the time, whether to research online or go visit local communities. And there's always opportunities to serve. There's always opportunities to volunteer and help out, in this great big world of ours. But again, it's just making the time to make a difference in somebody's life.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thanks. In this segment of our show, Crystal Daner and Anita Lloyd will be telling us a little bit about Stride.
So, what can you tell me about Stride?
What can I tell you about Stride? I'll start, and then Crystal can chime in. So Stride, we've been around for 40 years. We're a nonprofit organization, and we serve Halton and Peel. And our primary objective is to assist people facing mental health and just to find employment. So we have a variety of different programs. We have a youth program. We have a free employment. We have Employment Connections. We have a small justice program. And we're primarily funded by the Ministry of Health, but we also receive funding, our EO service providers, so we receive funding from the Ministry of Labor, Trade, and Skills Development, and we receive some money from United Way. We're a relatively small organization, 33 employees. Okay, Crystal, you're up.
that's an awesome overview, Anita. I think it's interesting. Sometimes I find that when people ask, what do we do at Stride, I often find it hard to kind of pigeonhole because we do obviously have a mandate and a directive, but individuals that we serve who often have more than one presenting challenge, we act as like a hold-all at times to help support individuals either access resources that are available in the community that they may not be aware of. Kind of the no doors, the wrong door policy. And we work in tandem with caseworkers from other organizations, social assistants, the hospitals, all of those types of things in order to best support individuals for presenting and helping with their goals of wanting to become competitively employed in the community.
So are there any common trends and barriers facing those with mental health challenges and addiction issues?
Well, again, every individual has their own story and their own journey as to what has brought them to our door, so to speak. But I would say the number one commonality is the stigma that's out there. We have seen a tremendous growth in employers becoming more accepting and actually making this part of the conversation, especially since I started about 12 years ago. It has changed dramatically. We're not where it needs to be, but I can now have very open conversations with employers now that even 5 years ago would not have been the case. So individuals who identify as having challenges with mental health and addictions, it's always been a conversation around, you know, accommodations or do people need any type of help disclosing to an employer? Because as we know, employers by law are not required to know any personal health information, but sometimes it's important and sometimes it's essential for clients to share that information because it's part of their own healing and their own journey. So I would say the biggest thing is absolutely having the conversation and being able to speak open about it. That would probably be the biggest trend that I've seen. Anita, I don't know, what do you think?
I think, Christy, you've probably spoken to this, but you have people with mental health and addiction challenges often face multiple barriers, right? So there's housing instability, there's stigma that Crystal talked about, there's, you know, frequently criminal records, there's transportation issues, there's things like that. So as Crystal said, we work in collaboration with various other resources and organizations within the community, and we provide wraparound supports for individuals that are you know, wanting to be employed. But again, it's not just a single sort of, there's multiple issues that we work with as an organization with the individuals that we serve.
Well, and if we think about the social determinants of health, right? So, like, employment is one piece of somebody's life. Like, so I always like to think of, like, if you're thinking about a pizza and you have different slices in the pizza, each slice of pizza represents a different area of somebody's life. And they're not in isolation from one another. So if somebody doesn't have enough money to buy food or is adequately housed or is able to access things like a family doctor or psychiatrist or even medications, well, then how are they able to focus on finding employment? But employment would help people buy food, which can then, you know, so everything is so enmeshed and interconnected. It's important that we address the whole person in their situation, because it's not just employment. Now, that being said, employment obviously is our focus, but we can definitely help address the other barriers that are in place, whether it's through conversations that we have with clients or through conversations and connecting them to other community resources.
So this next question is for each of you. In your time with Stride, is there any success moment or story that stands out for each of you?
Ooh,
there's so many, which is a good problem to have. I'm recognizing that right now. Sorry, that's my phone. So I had a client that I worked with for many, many years. We used to have a worksite training program, and we had two separate locations, and Anita can speak better to that than I can, but it was a way for clients to be able to come in and test their skills and their abilities in order to help prepare them move forward. And quite often, a lot of our most barrier clients, so individuals with very significant diagnoses and concurrent disorders, quite often would spend quite a bit of time in this program. But again, very beneficial. And so I had a client who was we were hopeful, but not expecting that they were able to find community employment and be successful at it. Without giving too many details, obviously, this client, we were able to connect with a local employer who was then able to work around accommodations, including time of day accommodations based on medication that the client was taking for their mental health, and was successfully able to keep a job in a very well-known company in our local area. And as far as I know, continue to have that job now. And if there were ever any challenges, they were open about myself as his employment specialist going in and helping to support the client on the job if that's what was needed. Again, having that open communication going back and forth, that's probably one of my proudest cases, I guess, if you could call it that.
And so for myself as the executive director, I would speak to, there's been lots of successes, of course, within Stride, but one of the ones that I truly value is when we receive funding for our employment peer mentor program, and that has been such a valuable and such a, it just contributes so much to the work that we do as an organization. So, you know, peer mentors, they have a personal experience, as you know, with mental health and addiction challenges, so their shared experience really helps clients feel understood and helps reduce stigma and really, you know, fosters a shared environment. And clients are really more willing sometimes up to share and take guidance from our peers. Just our employment peer mentor program has been such a really value add to the services that Stride provides, and I feel that that's a really, you know, a wonderful program that we receive funding from through Ontario Health, and that's been one of our huge successes.
I'd like to thank you both for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Andy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Drivers who use handheld devices such as cell phones are 4 times more likely to get into crashes serious enough to cause injury or even death. Brain injuries such as those caused by distracted driving kill more people under the age of 20 than any other causes combined. When you text and drive, you not only put your own life at risk, but the lives of others on the street around you. Go to leavethephonealone.ca, take the pledge to only drive and never text, and help to put an end to distracted driving. Everyone deserves to travel on our roads without fear.
Welcome back to Handy Link. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from John Bruschetto about his work with TDC, and Anita Lloyd and Crystal Daynard told us a little bit about Stride. This next segment is a post-dated one, so some of the events referred to may already have happened. In this segment of our show, Sean Wiltshire will be telling us a little bit about his latest announcement concerning autism and employment. So you were telling me recently about an autism announcement you made.
Yes. Yeah, we're very excited. Yesterday was the press conference for the National Autism at Work Program, which is to help folks who are neurodiverse, who have educational qualifications or experiences, find work. The thing that's different about this, Cam, is that for the first time, folks who might have not sort of defined themselves as neurodiverse or had the opportunity to go to work or have had opportunities to work, but it hasn't worked out because of their autism, we're now going to be able to help them not only maintain their jobs, but really find a career. They have great skills. They've got opportunity to offer those skills, but very often they're screened out through an interview process or in understanding how you try and work with somebody who's neurodiverse. The skills are there. It's the social piece that we're helping with. How do you connect at work? How do you be included and ensure that, you know, your neurodiversity and your work qualities are highlighted? Everybody's struggling when you think about how do you navigate the social niceties of the office. And this is what we're trying to help folks with. We know they have skills. So we're matching up the skills of the individual with the employer who needs those skills. And we're kind of helping the employer understand this person has the skills you need, and that will make your business profitable. But you might communicate with them a little differently. You might give them direction a little differently. So it was really about making sure that everybody's talents and the business's talent that they're looking for is matched up. We're not placing folks who have to get skilled up. They're ready to go to work. It's just a matter of how do we support the employer to understand the skills that they have.
So I'm curious,
anything for the employees themselves who might be struggling with a hesitation from the standpoint of, oh, I've been turned down for work so many times, why should I try again, sort of thing?
Well, as I've often said to folks, if you learn how to ride a bike and you fell once and you never picked up a bike again, well, you're not going to travel a very far distance. So the key here is that we're giving people the support that they need to make the connection. So previously, they might have tried on their own and not been able to get the interview. Or maybe they went to the interview and they were so nervous because of their autism, they didn't answer the questions right. Well, when you've got an advocate or somebody that is able to help, for lack of a better term, Cam, it's like translation. You're making sure that the employer knows that your skills are transferable, but maybe they're going to have to communicate with you in a different way. Maybe they might have to write the directions, or maybe they're going to give you a different set of office rules just so that you live up to your potential. And at the end of the day, the only thing the employer wants is a good employee. And so if we say to folks, this person has the skill, it's, as I tell the folks, it's sell the skill, not sell the disability. So this is a real opportunity in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Newfoundland and Labrador to have an opportunity for those folks to connect. And we hope eventually to expand it beyond those four provinces to other provinces so that people have the opportunity. Because it's not the lack of skill, it's the lack of opportunity that many, many folks are faced with.
So what was the inspiration behind this project?
Well, it comes, Cam, from a person you and I both know. Marcia Ryu invited me when I was working in India and Bangladesh, and I used the process that we're using for folks now with autism in India, in Bangladesh. And when I came home from that, I decided that, hey, we could do this here. There are lots of folks who need these supports. There's lots of folks who need this opportunity, and we're going to have to provide it. So I wrote the program myself. I wrote it on a Saturday. I talked to some of the colleagues that I had across the country, and then we started the process of engagement with folks who had autism. Is this going to work for you? What works? What doesn't work? And we kept that process up. So the inspiration really came from some of the work I did in Southeast Asia, that if we could do it in other countries, we could do it in our own country as well.
So what are the next steps forward?
So it's actually lessons that, you know, if you have a college education, if you have a high school diploma, if you went to a community college and got a diploma, we have employers who are ready to hire, but we need to make sure that you're the right skill and the right match. So it's an opportunity to take a chance and to see that you still have qualifications. Not using those qualifications is a loss, not only to you, but to our community. We have labor market conditions that are changing drastically. We need more talented and skilled up folks. This is why we say to folks all the time, your skills are needed, but we're just going to make sure we match them right. You don't want to put somebody into a job and set them up for failure. This is all about setting people up for success. So if you have a degree in GIS mapping, or if you have a degree in biochemical engineering, and you can't find a job, let us help you make that connection, because I know your skills are needed.
So that being said, for those going into the workforce, potentially for the first time, I assume this is going in with the expectation that they can, in fact, advance, that this isn't just a dead-end street, so to speak.
Well, we always try to encourage people. We tell them in the very first part of the process, this is your first job, not your last job. This is an opportunity for you to start on a journey that every Canadian takes, that every person who's looking for work and to be included takes. Sometimes you're successful and sometimes you're challenged, but that doesn't mean that the skills go away. When we look at the labor force today and how it's changing, employers that are more welcoming and inclusive, whether it be to new Canadians or to folks with disabilities, they do better in the world of work. They make more money, they have better teams, they innovate. And all workplaces shouldn't, everybody at the workplace should not look the same. This is where we get new ideas. If we're only trying to solve our problems with old solutions, we're never going to make it work. That's why we need new Canadians. That's why we need folks who are neurodiverse And that's why we have to remember to tell people it's about their skill. It's not about your disability. It's not about your language. It's not about your religion. It's about your skill. And when people's skills are highlighted, the rest of it falls away and their talent is recognized.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Again.
Thanks. My friends, conditions like autism or even mental health concerns are kind of interesting to me, so much as you might meet a person affected by them and never even know it. Depends upon the range and the severity of the condition itself. However, this does not mean that a person affected should go out of their way to hide this fact. They should not be ashamed or go to great pains to say, "This does not affect me." It's by accepting and owning our conditions that we derive strength from them. Fact is, first, you must understand yourself, what your situation means to you. And honestly, having those around us reach in can be a source of support. It can be a good thing, depending upon their own motivations, of course. If a person sincerely wants to stand beside the disability community and say, "I understand," we should welcome that. Creating job opportunities, creating the prospect of equality in employment, is really breaking down some of those barriers, in my opinion. There's no better way to understand someone's abilities than to see them firsthand, to work alongside them, to learn alongside them, maybe even be in a friendship or a relationship with them. You come to see the disability first and foremost. Less and less, you start to see that this is a complete person, capable of a great number of things. Too often, my friends, we ask the question of what, as opposed to the question of why. We ask what a situation is, rather than understanding the factors that led up to it. We ask, what does a condition like autism mean in a textbook, rather than seeing the person affected, seeing their capabilities, their hopes, their dreams, and allowing ourselves a chance to grow in true equality. If you only look at one piece of the puzzle, you're never going to see the whole picture. By working alongside folks affected, by getting to know their stories, their situations, maybe even something about their families, you come to understand this is a person. You come to realize that it may be just for one moment in time, their whole life changed. To someone born with a disability, that's just nature. That's just what their life is. That's the life they've always known. For someone with an acquired disability, it can be that they were very much just like you in terms of abilities. Right up until that one moment, things changed. And that does not make them lesser of a person in any way. Just means they have to look at the world from an adaptation standpoint. They have to look at different ways of doing things. And make no mistake, anyone's methodology can learn from this. To assume that your way of getting things done is the only way only leads to shortchanging yourself and those around you. The disability community can be there. They can be a source of advice and innovation. And that is something I am so grateful to see being added to more of the job market. I'm glad to see people having a chance to hear what they can do, rather than being told the door will be shut every single time. For a person with a disability, it can be discouraging, but to have an opportunity to really grow opens a whole spate of doors, my friends. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal, so get on out there and have a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.
Appreciate your generosity. Each year, for a week, we host Fund Drive, our annual fundraising campaign that augments our budget and supports our operations. It is thanks to you that we can rise higher and reach further.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1.